The disciples spoke in a way that each person understood. People were so honored that God would go this far to speak to them in their mother tongue that they stopped and listened. That's the miracle of Pentecost. And it's a miracle that matters in a world where so many keep talking while their words fall on deaf ears.
That's the Reverend Joe Evans, and today he offers a powerful sermon for Pentecost called Too Light a Thing. I'm Peter Wallace. It's day one.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. We're honored to welcome back to Day One today the Reverend Joseph B. Evans, Senior Pastor of First Presbyterian Church in Marietta, Georgia. Before coming to Marietta in 2017, Joe served for 6 years as Senior Pastor of First Presbyterian Church in Columbia, Tennessee. He's a graduate of Presbyterian College in Clinton, South Carolina, and earned his Master of Divinity at Columbia Theological Seminary in Decatur, Georgia, where he is now pursuing a Doctor of Ministry degree. Joe, thanks for being with us again, and a happy Pentecost to you.
I'm honored to be here, Peter, and a happy Pentecost to you, too.
Last week, you shared a bit of what's happening at First Presbyterian Church in Marietta, Georgia, a historic church in the center of town with an amazing impact in the community and beyond. It seems to be thriving in fellowship and ministry, and that's following a split that occurred before you became senior pastor. Splits are no fun, but sometimes good things can happen after healing occurs. What can churches do to heal after a split?
I'm honored you asked that, Peter. I really think there's a story to be told at First Presbyterian Church Marietta because the church recovered from that split so quickly and so beautifully. Mm. The first thing that happened, during the interview process, I asked a lot of questions about the split.
Yes.
And the story that captivated me and really gave me confidence that God was doing something incredible at the church was one woman, her name's Mary Margaret Doyle, during the split, right after it, as this large portion of the congregation kind of walked out the door, she said to herself, you know what we need to do, those of us who are here, we need to be unified around a table. Yeah. And she instituted breakfast. And she got a team together, and they fried bacon and they made grits. And every Sunday morning, the congregation had breakfast together. And when I heard that, I just knew.
Yes.
This church is on the road to healing. It's been through a lot, but if they're already taking steps to just get to know each other and love each other again, this church is going to be all right. Mm-hmm. And indeed, that's been the case. I could talk about this for a really long time, and I don't want to speak to congregational splits ad nauseum, but I know that so often it's the hard task of the pastor to give a member permission to leave, that sometimes our spiritual needs are not being met, and the pastor's great priority must be not someone's church affiliation, but their relationship with God. Mm-hmm. So in the past, I've given people permission. I'm sorry that your spiritual needs are not being met here, and I would love to continue to be your pastor, but most important is that you feel connected to God, and I encourage you to go where you feel that connection. But sometimes I think we're actually in the right church, but we're giving one scruple far too great a place in our spiritual lives. Mm-hmm. I've never been in a church where I agreed with 100% of what was going on. Mm-hmm. But when I make one scruple the priority, I give that problem too much power. In premarital counseling, I remember the pastor who did our wedding said, if you're looking for something to complain about in your spouse, you will find it.
Mm.
And when you focus on that one thing, you discount all that you love.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's anyone listening today who's struggling with their home church and wondering whether or not they should leave, I charge you to just really think about that one thing that's bothering you and not to give it too much space in your mind.
Mm.
Don't walk away from a family of faith and a church that you love because of one thing that you disagree with. Really take the time to think.
Mm-hmm. So you've been pursuing a Doctor of Ministry degree from Columbia Theological Seminary in Decatur, Georgia, and I understand you've pretty much completed your coursework and now you have a big project to do before a dissertation. But tell us about your project and why you decided to tackle it.
I'd love to tell you about it. My wife's tired of hearing about it. Can I tell you about it? Peter, the idea here is this. During the pandemic, so many churches were live streaming services, mm-hmm. and then we had to think, well, should we keep doing that? What are we doing here? The conception, the idea can be all we're doing with this live stream by continuing to offer it is enabling our members to stay at home and go to church in their pajamas instead of coming into the building like mm-hmm. they should. And I agree with that to some extent. There's such a benefit to being physically in the building with other believers. It's so much more wonderful to sing with a congregation than by yourself. But the church must remember that the live stream service is reaching people whom cannot be reached any other way. So my project is that. What good can the live stream do that in-person church cannot? Who mm-hmm. can we reach, and how can live stream give the church legs to go place the gospel wasn't going? And day one does this. You know, it's the church on the radio. It's reaching people across the country. How many people can't go to church, but they can tune in on the radio? Same with live stream. Our homebound ministry improved because those folks who we just thought, well, they can't come to church anymore, suddenly they could worship from home.
Mm-hmm.
So this incredible guy, his name's Terry Barton, he challenged the church, we're going to make sure that every member on our rolls receives some form of this worship service. So we checked with the homebound. Could they live stream? If not, can we give them technical support?
Mm-hmm.
If they don't have internet, we're going to provide them with personal DVD players. And if they can't do personal DVD players because that have that much of a challenge with technology, we're just going to provide them with sermon manuscripts.
Mm-hmm.
We got every member of the church engaged in some version of the worship service, and that improved things. Beyond that, what the project is, we were reaching into one particular retirement community so that the members of our church took over the retirement community's big screen. So First Presbyterian Church at 11, all the residents of Wynwood Retirement Community would go before the big screen and worship together. And they could do that during the pandemic. And it's beautiful. I got to go and to hear them do the liturgy along with the congregation in the sanctuary is just amazing. They sing the songs that they know the words to. They pass the peace. They do everything. Where else could that work? What other retirement communities can we get into who aren't being reached, who can't come into the building?
Mm-hmm.
And then we're very excited that this month we're going to be reaching into the Cobb County Jail. The jail hasn't had live preachers or live religious leaders come into the building during this whole pandemic.
Right.
It couldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So this month, our service will be provided to the residents of the Cobb County Jail. We never would have thought of that. We just would have said it can't be done, but it can.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Well, this Sunday, the church celebrates the day of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and what some have called the birth of the church. And your sermon is based on the account from Acts chapter 2. Would you read it for us?
I'd love to. Listen now for the word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Well, Joe, we look forward to hearing your sermon on this. It's titled, "Too Light a Thing." Thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you, Peter. I once had an incredible opportunity. It was career day at the Marietta Center for Advanced Academics, our 10-year-old daughter's school, and I was one of the featured guests. Honored to have a table right beside Dr. Bob Harper and his daughter Mandy, who were there to tell those kids what being a dermatologist is all about, I laid out my Greek and Hebrew Bibles and my preaching robe, prepared to inspire some fifth graders to become a pastor. Unfortunately for me, the dermatologist next door got most of the attention. Examining moles and protecting people from skin cancer made a lot more sense to most of those kids, while many had trouble understanding my vocation. One of those kids saw my robe and thought I dressed up like Harry Potter for a living. Noticing how many kids were confused about what being a pastor is all about halfway through the morning, Dr. Harper, who is my dermatologist, asked if the kids had asked me any interesting questions, and they had. "Have you really married people?" one wanted to know. "Yes, I have," I answered. "Have you ever cried at a funeral?" "Absolutely." Or the most interesting, which was asked in just the faintest whisper, "How likely is it that someone could be possessed by a demon?" That was a hard question to answer. I told her it was very rare, though if she wanted to talk more about it, she should give me a call, and I gave her a business card, which felt like a cold response, but I'm not used to being asked that kind of question. Presbyterians don't often talk about such things. Among the Christian denominations, we're sometimes called the frozen chosen. We don't talk much about hell or demons. We don't often clap either. We rarely lift our hands in praise. We tend to be so science-led and rationally minded that we leave things like exorcisms and snake handling to those who speak in tongues. I've heard a woman speak in tongues only once. We were both chaplains at the Metro State Women's Prison, and the Holy Spirit fell on her, and she began to prophesy. For me, this was an otherworldly experience. As a white, Southern, college-educated Presbyterian, speaking in tongues is not in the repertoire. However, speaking in tongues is neither foreign to Scripture nor to the Christian tradition, so today we celebrate it a little bit. Today is called Pentecost Sunday, which is a lesser-known holiday compared to Christmas or Easter. The Pentecost hymns in our hymnal aren't as popular as Christmas carols, but we still must sing them because Christmas and Easter are not the only Christian holidays that matter. This is the second Sunday in a row where the church celebrates a less popular holiday. Last Sunday we celebrated Ascension Sunday, the day when we consider that line from the Apostles' Creed, "The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven." And today we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit given to the disciples not long after Jesus ascended. It's called Pentecost, and it's worth celebrating too. Today we read in the second chapter of the book of Acts, "They were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability." Can you imagine? That's what today is all about, this momentous event. It's a day worth celebrating, but that doesn't mean it's familiar or understood. For while there are plenty of Christmas movies on the Hallmark Channel, no one is making any Pentecost movies. I can imagine why that is, but our brothers and sisters in the Pentecostal churches would love a few good Hallmark movies about Pentecost. So I've been kicking some ideas around. Imagine a movie with a plot like this. An old man gets his house cleaned every day by a woman who speaks only Spanish. They can't understand each other, but then one day the Spirit comes, and he can speak so that she can understand. They fall in love and live happily ever after. Or a dad has trouble connecting with his preteen daughter. He tries to sound cool, saying slang terms he's heard her say to her friends, but it doesn't work until the miracle happens, and suddenly all his daughter hears is how much her dad loves her. I could keep going with these movie ideas. I have more. However, this is what I want to emphasize. What we're celebrating today is not only that the disciples were suddenly able to speak in languages they didn't know before. That's part of it. The other part is that the crowds there could understand. I still remember the words of Reverend Anna Trainum of Shalliford Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, who last year, right here on day one, said in her sermon for Pentecost that the miracle isn't that people spoke. People speak all the time. The miracle of Pentecost is that people were understanding each other. That's truly a miracle. Think about how seldom it happens. These disciples had been all together in one place. The Spirit came and they were all given this incredible gift, but the gift didn't just enable them to speak in languages they'd never spoken before. They were speaking and the crowds were understanding. It's there in verses 5 and 6. "Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each." It's not just that the disciples could speak. It's that others were able to understand. And so I ask you, shouldn't we spend more time thinking about Pentecost? For how many among us are capable of speaking? How many out in the world have something to say? How many puff themselves up with their proud opinions? Who get on their soapboxes and will spout off at any captive audience? Plenty will. But Pentecost is different because the Spirit enabled these disciples to speak in a language that the nations of the world made sense of. Now back to career day at our daughter's school. As I said, there were kids there who didn't know anything about being a preacher, and a lot of them were a little wary of me once they found out who I am and what I do, so I had some free time. Fortunately, also with me on career day at CC's school was Roy Vanderslice's daughter, Rebecca. Roy and his wife, Joan, are longtime members of First Presbyterian Church in Marietta, where I serve as pastor. Rebecca and I were talking about her dad, who will not only invite you to ride in his Tesla, he's also a language student. Knowing that, I showed Rebecca this app on my phone that's helping me to learn Spanish. And I suggested she get that for her dad for Christmas or something. She told me that he wouldn't want it because he doesn't really want to learn another language. He just wants to know 4 or 5 words in all the languages. When he meets someone, he wants to be able to say, please, thank you, and nice to meet you in the language that they speak. Can you believe how beautiful that is? That's a slice of Pentecost. The disciples spoke in a way that each person understood. People were so honored that God would go this far to speak to them in their mother tongue that they stopped and listened. That's the miracle of today, and it's a miracle that matters in a world where so many keep talking while their words fall on deaf ears. How often has it been this way with you? You spoke without fully appreciating who you were speaking with. You were talking, but there was no understanding. It happened once with me while I was in handcuffs. Last Sunday, I alluded to having been arrested as a college student. That's sort of true. What happened is that I got in a little bit of trouble with the campus police for climbing into a condemned building on campus. Then, by the school paper, I was assigned to interview one of the officers who caught me. And for the picture, I asked him to put me in handcuffs. I thought it would make a neat action shot. The trouble was that he'd used the handcuffs so seldom that he didn't have the key. After someone took the picture, for hours I was in the handcuffs as he looked around the public safety office for the key. Then he thought maybe he had left the key at home, so he drove me there in the squad car. And this is the weirdest thing. Yes, it gets weirder. It was when we got to his house that I really learned who this man was. Every wall of his house, it seemed like, was covered in certificates of recognition for his public service. Every wall, certificate after certificate, with appreciation, in celebration of, with honor and distinction. I tried to read them all while he looked for that key, which he never found. He never found the key, and eventually, a locksmith had to cut the handcuffs off of me. I remember it like it was yesterday, not just being cut out of handcuffs, but that I had been writing about this man without really understanding who this man was, and it basically took a miracle for me to get it. That's Pentecost. A holiday we need to celebrate. For how often do we fail to understand each other? How often in this world do we fail to understand what it's like to be a police officer? I tell you, our country's lack of full understanding doesn't stop people from talking. Some criticize the police without understanding how hard their jobs are. Far too many talk about race without any knowledge of what it still means to be black in America. Some think they know. They really think they know, so they talk. But as they talk, the divide gets wider because they speak without understanding. So what does the Spirit do? It gave the disciples the words the words that the world could understand, which is absolutely a miracle that our society needs today. Just think about what happens in school boards, city halls, and over dinner tables. We read about it. Crowds of angry parents show up to talk over each other at meetings. Columnists who write articles to help you misunderstand those who think differently than you do. Parents who just don't understand. If you don't say what one wants to hear, he'll shout you down without taking the time to listen. Meanwhile, there are little girls in our public schools who are wondering how common it is to be possessed by a demon. What Pentecost reminds us of is that communication, real communication, requires love. That's what happened so long ago. These disciples weren't talking so that they could advance their own agenda. These disciples were up there trying to communicate to the world how much love God has for each and every one of them. And when I say everyone, that's what I mean. Salvation to the end of the earth, the scripture says. Only let it start in our own homes. Celebrate Pentecost. And dare to try and understand your spouse. Dare to love her well enough to really listen. Dare to lovingly speak to the police officer who is a human too. Dare to acknowledge the racism that still surrounds us. Dare to speak of love, that the walls which divide our world might come tumbling down. Dare to believe that your salvation, or the salvation of those who think the way you do, is too light a thing, and that the Spirit calls us to the ends of the earth, to those who have yet to hear of our mighty God, whose love for this creation and her inhabitants is boundless. Be slow to speak. Be ready to listen. Work to understand. And may your words be always abounding in steadfast love. Amen.
Our preacher today was the Reverend Joe Evans, senior pastor of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, Georgia. For a free transcript of his sermon for the day of Pentecost, Too Light a Thing, call us at 404-815-9110. That's 404-815-9110. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. Remember, Day One depends on the financial donations of faithful listeners like you. Please consider supporting our ministry with a generous gift. We appreciate it. This is Peter Wallace. Next week on Day One, we're delighted to welcome the Reverend Jamar A. Boyd II, Senior Manager for Organizational Impact at the Samuel DeWitt Proctor Conference, headquartered in Chicago, Illinois. Don't miss his powerful sermon titled Unbridled Hope. Next week on Day One. Now, our Day One preacher, Joe Evans, offers some final reflections about his sermon today, Too Light a Thing. And Joe, you told us about the career day at your daughter's school when a student asked you about demon possession. And as you pointed out, Presbyterians are not known for dealing with exorcisms or speaking in tongues. And yet here on this Sunday, the church talks about this amazing outbreak of the Spirit in Acts when people began speaking in other languages. And we celebrate that today. And you joined with Anna Trainham, who last year on Day One said the miracle isn't that people spoke, but that people understood each other, which truly is a miracle. It seems to be getting harder than ever to listen to one another, let alone understand. Why do you think that is such a hard thing to do?
I think that's such a hard thing to do because it's possible to hear only the voices that reinforce what we believe already.
Yes.
I can, if I want, watch only the news that tells me I'm right. I can, if I want, read only the newspapers that tell me that I've got it and I'm a genius. I can, if I want, only spend time with friends who reinforce what I believe already. However, I'm not right, Peter. Like, there are so many things I don't understand. One of the wonderful things about living in a neighborhood is that you're forced into this geographic location and you can't pick friends who are like you.
Yeah.
You have to interact with human beings regardless of their political or affiliation. We have a sign in our yard that says, "Hate has no home here." And with that, it's like our we're proudly proclaiming our affiliations right there. But the neighbors who interact with us who don't think the same way that we do have to meet us and find out that we're okay, you know?
Right.
And when we meet other people who vote differently or who think differently, suddenly we become more well-rounded and we start to recognize that those who are on the other side of the aisle from us are also God's children.
Mm.
I think one of the most beautiful moments in the Presbyterian worship service is when we all stand up and say what we believe and we all say the same thing, the Apostles' Creed. We do that every Sunday, and I think it's such a good reminder that most people agree on a whole lot more than what we disagree about. We have to stop giving what we disagree about so much power. When we do that, we play into the evil one's hand.
And you said some criticize the police without understanding how hard their jobs are, and far too many talk about racial conflicts without any knowledge of what it still means to be black in America. And the divide seems to get wider because people speak without understanding. So what does the Spirit do, you asked. And I wonder if you would say more about how the Spirit works in those situations.
Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you're talking to someone who you wouldn't normally talk to? There's a man in the church, in a church where I served. I had made him angry. He was mad at me because in the sermon I said that we nullified the words on the Statue of Liberty when we were inhospitable to those who come to us seeking refuge. And he didn't like that, and we had lunch, and he says, you know, Joe, we can't just let everybody through our borders. It'll be chaos. And I, you know, I listened, and clearly he was somebody who thought differently than I did about immigration. Come to find out that he paid for his housekeeper's son to sneak across the border illegally. So here he feels politically one way, but his actions are so different and so compassionate and so beautiful. Had the Spirit not moved in our lives, I'd never, my eyes would not have been open to how big this man's heart is. And so often, I think we just have to give the Spirit the chance for our eyes to become open to how much love there is, and how big the people on the other side of the aisle, how big their heart really is. It happens in public school a lot. My kids are exposed to all kinds of different kids, and by the end of the year, they find out that all the kids in their classroom who come from different parts of the city are their friends. I think the Spirit provides opportunities for us to recognize each other as brothers and sisters.
You said what Pentecost reminds us of is that communication, real communication, requires love. How can we ensure that our words are always filled and abounding with love?
Did you see the Mr. Rogers movie with Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
And did you notice how slow he talks? It made me think that sometimes we are so quick to try and speak and so quick to try and answer that we failed to listen. Mm-hmm. Fred Rogers, the way Tom Hanks played Mr. Rogers in that movie made me realize what a good listener that man was.
Yeah.
And probably the way to make sure that our words are filled with love is to have first really listened and recognize that the person we're talking to is God's own,
mm-hmm.
precious, mm-hmm. wonderful. Just how you are, Peter.
Well, and you know that he actually preached that message on the Protestant Hour years ago.
How cool is that?
Joe, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will carry with them in the days ahead?
Next time you have the chance to interact with your grandchild who's gone off to college and become someone you don't recognize, or your uncle who you always disagree with, slow down and listen to them and ask questions and really learn who they are and learn something wonderful about them before you jump in to a lecture where you're trying to correct the way they think.
Mm-hmm. Joe Evans, thank you for being with us.
I'm honored, Peter.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.